Blog Talk Radio.
I appreciate your resistance, shawty. I wouldn't fuck with me even. All of me, that is. Let's go.
Hey girl, I like what you got on. How about you take it off? It's just you and me, don't be shy. Baby, show me what you're working with. Damn, you're so fine. I never seen a body so divine. What you waiting on? Come and get it. Baby, I just want a little bit. Better yet, take on. And how I wasn't ready, baby, I think you're mistaken. Cause you're over there, I'm over here. Now you're looking scared. Watch it disappear. Told you I'ma come correct. And I ain't even break a sweat. Girl, I ain't even finished yet. Can you take off?
Love, she need, but a brother really just can't give in. But that's it, what she bring, got me thinking I can reconsider. Got me thinking she can be my missus. Got me thinking that I need to stop tripping. Smoke and talk about our pain, drink it till we end up feeling. What's rough for is I like her when I like her. She just like the fact, cause that like fact, I can't fight back, but she loves more.
She loves more.
And she loves hard when she does so, when I'm on and off. Cause the last time I said the last time to my old flame was a false alarm. I know, I'm not the best. I'm monogamy, but be an optimist and let God protect. As far as having you, give me half of you. You can have the rest.
You can have the rest.
No promises. Believe it's all just game, girl. Cause if I go inside that, I bet
can
you go
you
insane, girl.
Go?
Goldie.
So I'ma give it all.
We'd like to show gratitude to you, the listener, for tuning in to Playboy Diaries.
So I'ma give it all.
Yeah. I'm your narrator. DJ Scream signing out until next time.
Stuck at old top now. You, shawty. Just you.
So I'ma give it all.
And we out of here.
You don't have to love me. You don't have to want me. Don't even have to spend time with me. You don't have to go and buy me things. Just listen now. When I stop to talk, it's good enough. Even though I think about it, it should. You don't have to say you miss me. You don't have to put me on your wish list. Don't even have to go and post a pic. Don't even have to stop seeing other men. Just listen up when I start to talk.
You in a rush, bro? What you trying to meet your maker, darling? Oh, you running out of time, huh? The time ain't even real. You really need to chill. It's all an illusion. You getting mixed up in a fusion. Whatever it is you try to see, you can sit down and just believe. But I wouldn't ever be the same old day. God help me, oh, I think I'm insane. Ah, God bless me, God help me, ooh, I think I'm insane. Ah, oh, oh, oh. Why you wanna play so bad? 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 Cause you know it's real. Cause you know it's you gotta get too tight, too fast, too thin. Cause you claim you see things when you on TNT. But I see the same thing before I go to sleep. God bless me. God help me. Oh, I think I'm insane. Ah, God bless me. God help me. Ooh, I think I'm insane. Ah, oh, oh, oh. Why you wanna play so bad? Why you wanna play so bad? Why you wanna play so bad? Why you wanna play so bad?
I'm not feeling like myself since the baby. Are we gonna even make it all? Cause if we are, we're taking this a little too far. If we are, we're taking this a little too far. Baby, if we are, we're taking this a little too far. Me being
on my mind, I pass my bedtime, no rest. kingdom, alone in my place, my heart is away. All that I can think of is, we should get married, we should get married. Let's stop holding back on this and let's get carried away. Stop making a big deal out of the little thing, cause I got big deals and I got little things. Not everything I'm asking for but you. Stop making a big deal out of the little thing, let's get carried away. Come right now, you know where I stand.
I just wanna say oh my, I just wanna say oh my, but would you hurry oh my,
all I'm really for is you.
Oh my,
but would you hurry, oh my, long as you know who you belong to.
Do you really roll with a good girl? Do it be, do it all for a good girl. One time, this is a song for the good girl. Don't sleep when you know you got a good girl. One time, this is a song for the good girl. Roll, 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 roll with a good girl. One time, this is a song for the good girl. And I still keep it real, still treat you like I should. What's up?
From 8 until 8, I think about you. On my nights, I don't know what to do. Do I can't get no rest, can't get no sleep. Yeah, this whole thing got way too deep and we should
stop making a big deal out of the little things. Cause I got big deals and I got little things. I got everything I'm asking for you. Stop making a big deal out of the little things. Let's get carried away. Come right now, you know where I stay.
I just wanna say oh my, oh my. I just wanna say oh my, oh my. Would you hurry oh my, oh my.
All I'm really asking for is you.
Oh my, oh my. I just wanna say oh my, oh my. Would you hurry oh my, oh my.
Long as you know who you belong to.
Welcome to another installment, an episode of War Council. War Council is an egalitarian, conscious community panel discussion that dialogues around current events and community issues. And indeed, we do talk that shit. So, if you are not prepared, understand that this is constitutionally protected speech. If you're listening and you get offended, so what? We got some things we're going to get off our chest, but tonight's topic is free. Free topics, free game. We're going to speak freely. Some of the topics that will be covered tonight will be how do you deal with loss? That's mainly me. Digital courting and sex. Got some great questions for that. Bad breakups. Green flags versus red flags. And why we ignore or second guess them. All right. This is a free conversation. If you'd like to participate, please raise your hand. You do that by pressing 1. Please understand that we are respectful here. We respect each other's opinion, even if we disagree. We do not yell. We do not scream. We talk to each other. And truly, exchange is how we grow. So, that being said, let me bring in some of the esteemed conscious creatives and some of the dopest people on the face of the planet that you may or may have not had the chance to meet, but you should, because they are pretty dope. So, coming from the great state of Pennsylvania, the city of brotherly love, my favorite, one of my favorite Philly Jones, one half of the Love Zone, one half of Poetic Therapy, one third, or is it one fourth, of the Soul Cafe, and always, always one of the most important people on War Council and part of the Hunt Trippers. Let me introduce you to La Perla Negra, also known as Danielle. La Perla Negra, are you there?
Hey, love, I'm here, and yeah, it's 1/4 folks.
I just want to make sure, you know, my math's a bit off. You know, I can't count for nothing. Let me stop.
Right.
No, I'm gonna be cool. And now from the great state of Virginia, I'm not gonna tell you what her nickname is because that's not important right here. But just understand that if she puts that thing on you, you got that thing put on you. From the great state of Virginia, the very beautiful Lisa Lips.
Hey, baby.
Lisa Lips, are you there? Hey,
I'm
how you
here.
Doing? All right. We're starting out in grand form now. All right, so coming up from, well, he's not from, he's from Baltimore. You gotta say Baltimore like that. You gotta say it like that. But residing in South Carolina, South Cackalacka, one of the finest men with a bald head, a big beard, and green eyes. Plus, he smells good, or so I've been told. I call him the selfie hogger, because if you go to any event, he's always taking pictures with all the beautiful women and smiling from ear to ear, because he's handsome like that. He's a handsome chap. He's a handsome guy. And I have lots of nicknames for him, but we're not going to get into that this evening. But he's also the station manager of the Epiphany Radio Universe. He's one half of the Get Down. We call him Wolverine. He also does doing date night differently. He also does Sundays, the Inspiration Factory. He's a bad man. Good people, I introduce you to Mr. Van Meadows.
Hey, what's good, Mojave family?
What's
the Pearl and Negra? What is happening? Lisa Lips. Whew.
Baby.
Man, what an intro like that. Well, I mean, what is a man supposed to say? But thank you, Javi.
Yeah, just hit my Cash App. Anyway.
Got you, bro.
Hey, let's talk to me. All right, I see Sir Lawrence, right? I think this is Sir Lawrence, but I don't know if he's raising hand, but we're going to find out. All right, area code 713, who mass is speaking?
Yeah, this is Sir Lawrence. I was just trying to get through the preliminary and glad to see the old family, and we were playing tag for a while there. I couldn't get on, and y'all weren't there. Then I come on, and then I couldn't get on, so I was trying to give it a shot tonight.
Sir Lawrence, what's going on? Just press one. That's all you have.
Oh, this person right here. That's not what I'm talking about.
Listen, you've been here long enough.
What's up, sir?
I draw no quarter.
Yeah, how you doing, Mr. Meadows? Because this guy ain't listening to me, so I ain't a point of me listening to him.
My man.
Listen, are you goofing off? You know you should goof off, right? I don't bang on people. I just put him in the queue and forget about him.
Hold on.
I just put him in the queue and forget about him. That's all I do.
No, I'm feeling love, though. It's just that I just been feeling abandoned. I've been looking I'm out in the middle of the ocean. I thought it was an island here, and it wasn't. So, you know.
Listen, we're going to throw you the lifeline.
Oh,
too.
You already on the ship. We gave you a cool frosted drink. You got to calm down.
Don't sweat.
You got to calm down.
You're here now. I'm feeling better now. I feel better.
You're here now. We're going to have some bucks and beauties come out and dance in front of you. It's going to be all right. Just get your dollars ready.
Oh, man. All right. I feel so much better now.
It's a tough customer, man. It's just tough.
It's one of those things. You know what I'm saying?
I understand. All right, so I'm gonna open Zanice's mic and see if she wants to participate. Zanice, would you like to participate?
Huh?
Hello.
I go ahead and do I need to press one?
Hey, I'm just a listener. Hey, everybody.
You just gonna listen? Hey, you don't keep your mic open?
Yeah, I'm just here to support.
All right, well, we'll take the support. We like that. Treat me like a bra. I like it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Hilarious.
All right. So I'm going to put you back in the queue, okay, Sunnies? All right?
Okay. I'll hit you back.
Just press one when you... All right, thank you. All right, I'm going to go over here to 609. I have no idea who this is. I try to figure out. Area code 609. Hello? Area code 609.
Good evening.
Divine inspiration.
I just got finished some errands and things I have to do for some other people, and I'm listening right now because I'm still on the phone handling some other things.
Okay.
I'm
multitasking. I didn't know this was Pastor Slinky. Pastor Slinky.
Pastor Slinky. That's it. You got him.
That's me.
Pastor Slinky. Okay, I got you. All right, I'm going to put you back in the queue. All right, I got you.
All right, but I'm listening, right. But I will raise my hand if I get a break where I can chime in.
All right. All right, I got you.
But in
right,
the meantime,
so
in between time, I'm here.
All right, got you, Pastor Slinky. We rocking. My music keeps running out while I'm talking to y'all. All right, and I think VIP is on here too. VIP, are you there?
Yes, Mojave, I'm here. How are you?
Yeah.
Hey, VIP.
I always get this feeling to talk to VIP like, hey, how you doing?
Well, I'm just here listening.
Super
I'm
echo going. Let me hop out my echo. All right, hopefully there's no echo after this. Oh, what the hell.
That's crazy.
Hold on, let me try something. Okay. Is there another echo?
Nope.
Oh, man, that's terrible. VIP was the echo.
Yep.
Hold on. That's terrible. Hold on, let's try it again. VIP.
Yes.
Yeah, you're the echo.
Yep.
You're making yourself echoing. I don't have anything on.
I'm on my phone.
Why does it sound like you're in a long hallway or a bathroom?
Probably because my apartment is empty. I don't have like rugs down.
You just put your government, your sound out there. Your business out there. My apartment empty, Negro.
Then yeah.
Don't put all the stuff out there. Don't put all that stuff back there. Don't. Yeah, that's just, yeah, don't do that. Anyway, all right, so let's get started. All right, we're going to have to figure this one out because this echo is something fierce. All right, and then Dawood just came to the door. Dawood, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right. I got you, brother. All right, we're in here. All right.
So let's get started, shall we?
Right. I know it sounds like I'm in a grand mood, but it's because I almost can't care anymore. Loss. We lose many things. We lose people. We lose jobs, relationships, places to live, money on bad decisions. Loss. Losing things sometimes necessarily is not always bad for you, but when you lose someone you love, it can be disastrous. Full transparency. I felt very good where I was at when my brother died because I was surrounded by people who loved me, my community, my father. I had, you know, access to people around me who stood in my face and was like, just wouldn't leave me alone or anything. They wouldn't let me sit with my thoughts on anything. And I told them, I said, I'm much stronger than I was because I know when my grandmother died, that broke me. That really, like, shattered me in so many different ways. And I couldn't exactly imagine not hearing my grandmother's voice, you know. And with my brother, it's different. It hurts bad, but it's like I'm decent, you know. I'm decent. I haven't broken. I've cried a little, but not, you know, not the deep, sorrowful wails. You know, like my mother wailed, like the way she screamed. I just had to stay away from her because I couldn't do it, you know. I couldn't take that on. But you know, I know that when I go to see that, how you do it. So My opening question to the War Council, of course, is how do we deal with loss? And it can be loss in its many forms, like how you lose relationships. I know one time I lost someone who I considered to be the love of my life, and it took me a year and a half to recover, literally, like a whole year. You know, and then what was worse is because they was a poet, they did a really poet. They did a serious poem about me, and they passed the poem around to all these different people, and it was like, oh, this poem is about you, huh? Oh, you ain't shit. Mm. I'm like, wait a minute, you the nigga in this poem?
Oh, God.
Oh man. Mm. Oh man, woman, man, listen, she must have loved the hell out of you to write this shit about you. Like, yeah, I was immortalized in a poem. I knew it was bad when they was certain, like I worked at a certain university, Shelburne named Youngest, and I knew it was bad because they circulated, like, amongst the people, you know, the Chitlin network on the campus. So
wow.
I would walk into an office and people would look up at me like, this nigga here.
Oh,
look at him. Look at this. Wow. Look at this shiftless, slew footed
sucker.
Oh,
wow.
but seriously, I don't be caring. But we lose things, you know. How what are your coping strategies for dealing with loss? And anybody can hop in and take part in that.
Man, I just come to the realization. I just face the realization of it and say, well, I mean, not saying that it doesn't hurt because it does. You lose, I'll say, in a breakup, it can be devastating. It can actually hurt, maybe, I'm not going to say more than the loss of someone, but it's just a different kind of hurt. And you have to say to yourself, you know what, it's over. And you have to learn not to stay in that place because that's a very destructive place. And it took me some time to get to that point where I'm like, okay, not so much to say fuck it, but all right, I'm not going to dwell on it. You know, it is what it is. They're gone. I'm not going to fight to get it back because they chose to leave, and I'm not going to force myself on anybody. As far as the loss of a loved one, I still fight with that daily because of me. These past couple of years, losing people that are very close to me, I still haven't let my twins go yet. I still haven't released them yet. I miss him every day. That right there, I don't know. Maybe somebody can tell me how to deal with that a little bit better. But if I lost like I had a car taken from me one time, and that pissed me off, but I dealt with it. You know. Other than that, that's pretty much it. I just say to myself, well, it's gone. You know, they're gone. And that's it.
Anyone else?
Well,
can oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I was going to say the bottom of a bottle doesn't help. All right, that's not the way. But when it comes to loss of somebody that you love in terms of romantically, sometimes you need therapeutic help. Sometimes you can get lost in some of the things that you enjoy about life, or you rediscover about yourself that you enjoy, to help get over that kind of loss. Your eyes are open so that you don't put yourself in a position again. But that could, you could end up by yourself for, you know, 3 years, but who's counting? And when it comes to loss of a loved one, I lost important people in my life at 14. So when it comes to death of loved ones, losing them, I'm kind of numb, if that makes sense, because I never knew how at a young age to properly grieve. I just remember just being mad at the world because I lost my mom around Christmas time. So I remember just being mad at the world,
wow.
Not really caring about others, except for my siblings that were left behind for me to help take care of and help raise. So the grieving process for me, I never knew how to do it. So I can honestly tell you that when it comes to the loss of a loved one, I don't know how to cope with the loss of losing loved ones, because I've never been taught how, or never had the outlet to just grieve.
Wow. That's deep, because, you know, going through the process, I learned a lot from missing my grandmother. When my grandmother departed this earth, you know, I was holding her hand. I felt her hand grow cold in mine, you know, and then I was just fighting with the nurses because I was trying to figure out. I knew she was gone, but I wanted to know, like, if she still had brain activity, because one of the machines was going and the other one was beeping. And, you know, and I really hate when people question your intelligence, and they'd be like, and the nurse was like, "Ah, you want me to turn that off for you, baby?" I said, "Listen." I was like, "Listen, I know what this machine does. I need to understand what this one does." And she was talking to me like it was a butthole. And I felt myself being so angry that she would question my intelligence and not understanding the loss that I just went through. Because her white fragility wouldn't allow herself to humor the humanity that I was feeling in this moment of the loss that I experienced in front of my face. And I just wanted a simple question answered. And she just thought that she would humor me, you know. And the thing that was crazy was they were getting ready to call security on me because I was becoming belligerent, because I was like, "Don't talk to me like I'm stupid," you know. And I had the nurse who had attended my grandmother beforehand not come along. And then they were like, "Oh, he's the proxy, blah, blah, blah." Then they acted like they had some type of respect for me. But in that process of grieving, like, I felt like in that moment, I was like, "You won't even allow me the humanity to grieve my grandma who just left. The one woman I've had all my life, who always gave me sage wisdom, who always knew everything about me before I could even speak a word. The same woman, when I went to go visit her, you know, she was like my baby's home. And she was yelling and cheering and smiling and rocking back and forth. And I was like, this is a woman who's loved me for the entirety of who I happen to be as a man and beyond. You know, who literally, you know, and as I got further into my grief, you know, my grief was first destructive because my father made me responsible. I guess that was my father's way of coping. He made me responsible for a lot of things. Like he was on me like, oh, you get to the church first, and you do this, and you do that. Like, you know, right. At first I thought it was great, but I just realized that it was stuff that he didn't want to deal with because that was his process. And so as I began to move forward into it, like, I just gave up everything. Like, I just gave up. I just quit. Like, I was just like, I couldn't deal. Like, I just couldn't deal, you know. And the funny thing is, like, someone did some stone work on me, and I swear to you, when they put the stones on me, the stones were dry, but they felt wet. And they, you know, basically the person released, they was like, I'm releasing the sorrow from your spine, which is funny because my hair would only grow to a certain point, and then after that happened, my hair started growing crazy. Like, my hair grows crazy right now. I don't even know what's going on with it. But as I learned to master my sorrows, and master and know that she's always with me, knowing that she's always around, and learning that I could talk to people about my grief and allow it to release from me, that I would be okay, because I wasn't okay. And so right now I'm learning to be okay. You know, I'm learning that it's okay not to be okay. I'm learning that I don't have to be so strong. I'm learning that all the energy that I might output and give to other people are returning to me. I'm learning to let people love on me and keep me straight with a lot of things. Like, the hardest thing about this whole thing is being home and knowing that I have no one really to talk to. And so I've been saying things backwards, and people were like, yo, like, I talked to you this many times, you didn't even mention that. I think that's something you should have mentioned to me, you know. And I just realized that I felt that sometimes my grief was a vulnerability. You know, the people who keep me saying, like, you know, with anything else, like, I had to cancel the show, and like, everybody was in an uproar until, like, Dawood was like, tell them. Like, he was like, with your permission, I'll tell them. You know, and then once he did that, everybody calmed the hell down, because they was like, oh, I never seen him move funny before. We didn't know what was wrong. They was like, we didn't know what was wrong. You know, and Dawood was like, nah, you got to tell them. You got to let people know. Let them know that you know, it's rough for you. Go ahead, Dawood.
Yeah. Well, that's a very key way of talking about what I did.
That's a very what? PG way.
That's a very PG way of talking about what I did. Cause
okay,
you
may give the R-rated version.
That.
You said what?
I was like, fuck that. He lost a family member. They should understand. And if they don't understand, tell them to talk to me. And then, you know, that's just how it went down. Because, you know, how you gonna think about yourself when a man just lost, not no distant cousin or friend, he just lost a brother? How you gonna think about yourself during that? So that's when I came out, because, you know, that's what best friends are for. And everything quieted down. Not only did they feel the sorrow, but they felt my energy, because they knew what time it was and what I was going to say if you tried to have something to say otherwise. But I think that for me, I don't think I'm perfect in any way at moving on or I guess losing somebody. But I do know this, like, two people I lost in my life, one a love, one a person close to me. My teacher, my minister that made me a man in the nation, passed away on my birthday in the year 2000. 3 o'clock in the afternoon on my birthday. This is the man that made me a man, the man that I looked up to, that I never looked at any man like him. And his son had to call me and tell me my father passed away at 3 o'clock today. It was one of the most devastating times in my life, because we, you know, as Nation of Islam Protocol, we was on security 24 hours a day. I did the night shift from 11 to 7 in the morning to make sure that this man was not touched before he left this world. And to go through that and then, you know, kind of
have to get right up and inform everybody else that was connected to our organization, make arrangements, work with the family. The family didn't want members of Canada to come to the event, because they just was a mess, a huge mess. And I really didn't have time to grieve. And I remember saying to my wife at that time, we're not dealing with divorce now, but saying to her, I'm not going to cry until I get back to Coney Island. And so, like, I went through the whole thing. I was there with his mother, because his mother outlived him, and she became my mother. And I remember when I finally pulled up to that building, and I looked at the building, and she said, why did you wait this long to cry when you got here? I said, because I know that I'm going to be great one day, and he'll never get to see that. So I think that sometimes when you lose somebody, the sorrow is of losing them. But the sorrow also is the fact that you know there's certain milestones in your life you won't share with them again, you know, or you won't be able to share with them. They won't be there when you overcome obstacles. They won't be there when you gain certain heights. And that hurts even more. So, you know, it's been 20 years. And how I dealt with it is I went on Blog Talk Radio, like you guys are on now. And every time at the end of Blog Talk Radio, Van knows what I'm getting ready to say, but at the end of my show, I would play that clip from Iron Man 2, where he talks about his father. And he says, dead for 20 years, still taking me to school. And every day I would honor him with that clip. Because even today, after 20-some-odd years, I still feel like he's taking me to school. So I think that if there's anything I can say about how do you deal with loss, once you kind of gather yourself, which you got to go through a depressive phase, we all do, you find a way to honor that individual, that every time the sorrow threatens the car, you have a way of celebrating them while you're still with. Now, as far as like love is concerned, I think that, well, I would say this. A couple of years ago, I was in love with this one woman, and we couldn't be together. There were circumstances that made us not be able to be together. And she ended up, you know what I'm saying, like, it was a very traumatic incident, and we ended up split with each other. And it really hurt her in a physical way more than it hurt me. Now, you know, I'm not saying I put my hands on her, because I'm a domestic violence counselor, and I never hit a woman in my life. But it really hurt her, and she couldn't get over it. Her children couldn't get over it. So we tried to get back together a couple of times, but it just was never the same. And for the longest time, I remember, and this is going to sound overly romantic, but this is what it is, certain moons would come out. And when these moons would come out, and you're supposed to be in your spiritual self, I could feel myself, like, talking to this woman. And I remember one time we had got back together, and she said, when that moon was out, I was talking to you too. So it was just really kind of crazy, because I felt like if we had this kind of connection, what is the reason why we could never be together? But I just think that certain people come into your life, and they teach you certain things. And God is not going to allow them to stay around, because there's certain sides of their life that are too toxic or poisonous for you to be around forever. So they may open up a certain part of your love that was blocked. Because remember, we are all experiencing traumatic blocks of love from various different things that we go through in our life. And some of these things cannot even be opened up by therapy. Some of these things can't be opened up by medicine, by talking to somebody. You just have to have a certain experience, and that experience will heal you. And that experience usually comes through another human being. And so for me, that's what that was. And once I framed it that way, I was able to provide a context. I'm always going to love her, but I'm not in love with her and want to be with her no more, because I know what we need each other. So that's kind of my way of having dealt with a person that I was in love with in that love.
Wow. Anyone else?
I can say for myself, in loss of a loved one, so I've buried both of my parents now. And but what I was not prepared for was the wake of after losing my mother. My father died in 2004. My mother died in 2019. And after she passed, I realized profoundly how alone I was, because the family gathered around her and everybody is always assumed that I was stronger, and so they don't look out for me. So pretty much since she passed, I rarely hear from family. So it, in some ways, the whole family died when she died for me. And so I've had to figure out how to move forward on my own after being insulated by family on the plane. And that part of it is what I'm still fighting with, and actually just started going to counseling again for this week, because I realize I'm not as good being alone as I thought I was. But as far as relationships, I've had to realize that love is not enough always. You can love someone and they can love you, but don't click always. And so you have to find that person willing to work with you as much as they love you. And I have not been good at that. So, you know, there's a lot of work I still am doing. But that's not fun at all.
Wow. If anybody else wants to make any other comment, because I'm going to close this out, because this is a very powerful portion of what we've done. So, you know, I'll allow one more comment.
Yeah, I was just going to add one little small piece.
All right, go ahead, Sir Lawrence.
All right, Mr. Harvey. So I think it's pretty much been summed up all the way around, you know, with every comment that has come up. I think the biggest thing for me is the onlooker always wants to tell the griever how to grieve, and I think that's a big problem, you know, and whether it be losing a loved one through breakup or death or a family member, you know, that's like losing a part of your body, you know, and you can't, you know, me and my father almost fell out behind my mother passing, and it took me a minute to get over my mother's passing. It was so long, in the sense of everyone else had already dealt with it in their way. But my mother's spirit had to come to me, and she told me to let it go. She's fine. And that's how I was able to get past that part of it. And but I just think through the whole business is the onlooker telling the griever how to grieve, and that's a problem.
Sorry, I was on mute. Grief is powerful, but learning how to deal with grief in a proper sense that allows you to keep your emotions, release them, and also keep your sanity is important, you know. And there's all kinds of numbers and things that you can call. And if you feel comfortable enough, trust those that are around you. Because the people around you are the people who want to think the best for you. And I'm going to close with this. One of the most powerful things that happened is that, one, someone did a post. And so that post reached to people that I didn't even fathom that noticed me. But I had a conversation on a Sunday morning where me and his brother, we've known each other for years. And he's now like working for like the Harmony Council and stuff like that. And he was like giving me all these compliments about how I was. And he's like, who helps the helpers? He's like, when my brother died, he was like, there was nobody here to help me because I've been helping people for so long, but they just didn't know how to help me. So I'm extending this help to you because you're one of the people, you're just like me. You just help people, you know? And so, You know, I'm a crisis intervention unit for this. And the conversation was dope, but I really got my feelings because I never think that people see me, like, in that sense. Like, I know that, you know, I'm noticeable, but it just was beautiful in that sense, you know, to know that something. But, and I said, you know, what are you going to remember about your brother? And I said, one of my greatest memories, and I could never tell this in church, but I could tell it on my show. Never seen it in church, but I could tell it on my show. When I was little, and we lived on 121A Lark Drive, and my brothers came to visit me, like came to visit us, came to visit their mother, right? And so my brother had a beard. And I was like, how's this dude? I'm like 5'6", right? I'm like 5 or 6 years old. And he has a full beard. And so he's like showing us how to do the bump. He's dancing. He's doing all this other stuff. And I thought, you know, he has sunglasses for glasses, which I thought was the coolest. Like his sunglasses, his glasses look like aviator glasses. Right, and he was the coolest dude. He was cut, you know, face cut up, beard, perfect, you know, cool clothes. He had on the tan, you know, like turtleneck with the slack, you know, with the slacks that matched perfectly. Like, he was just a cool dude. And I was like, how do you get a beard? And he's like, you're too young to notice, but if you want a beard, you gotta eat pussy. He said, you gotta eat pussy, right?
I knew that was
and dumb. So I was like, you gotta do what? Right. Now, meanwhile, my other brother was telling me that if a woman's breasts are in your face, you can get brain damage, right? That's what he said to my brother. And he told me that, but literally, this man told me that, but he was a virgin until he was 22. So from this point forward, he could never tell me nothing about nothing. he said, if a woman with really big breasts gets in your face and leans on you, you'll get brain damage. He used to tell me that. And I actually almost believed him until I had some breasts put in my face. That's another story. Now, that's another story. Right?
And then you realize it was okay.
not only was I okay, I learned that you should have a wide mouth. You should have a wide mouth. Anyway, all right. This is not a honey dripper show. All right. So then, knowing that this legend happened, I looked at the men in my family. My father, he has a beard, right? My brother used to wear a beard, but he had a beard. I got a beard. And so when I see my son, I said, man, how you get a beard bigger than mine? He was like, you know why.
Oh my.
And my son's beard is bushy.
Lord.
All right. Shout out to my brother Greg. I'm gonna miss you, bro. Too much. And he was funny too. But he was one of my only brothers here. He'd always make a way. So I just wanted to close that segment down. Because it is 10:02, and I should play a station identifier because this is a For Real Entertainment Network, and it's sponsored by Raw Links. Why be average when you can be raw? Make sure you check out that brand new Moonstone that he just did for Miss Lisa Lips because it came out so fly, and I want one, but I got to get my stuff first. Anyway, I'm just saying. All right, why can I can never ever find the whatchamacallit to play. Like we should just have a thing where you just go to it and be like, yo, promo. That's it.
Just type in promos in the search.
Thank you. So, Jesus. How come everybody got a promo except me? Yeah, that's messed up, man.
I just go through other people's files and find it.
I'm like, nah, they got all the joint. Wait a second. Oh, here we go. Wait a second. No, I was messed up, man. I thought there was more to that, man. Hold on. Oh. Never mind. Never mind. It's not going to happen the way I wanted it to. I was like, wait a second. Is this working? Hold on. Let me try this out.
They know who we be.
All right, that was better. I like that one. That was good. That was good. I liked it too much. Okay. That's good. So, now, let's get to the fun stuff. We've been talking serious. Now it's time for us to move the hell off and move into our next topics that we have. We're going to talk about digital courting and sex. Right? And I know you're asking me, what do you mean by digital courting? What does that mean? Oh my God, Mahabi, what is digital courting? It's digital, it's courting, and it's digitalized, you know, social media. How people get at each other on social media. How do they court each other? How do they send interest, make people interested? How does it go down in the DMs? What happens when people get together and talk that thing between themselves digitally? So that's what we're going to talk about. So my question to War Council is, how do you think people are doing with this digital courting thing? All right. And what are the things that constitute digital courting? All right. How are you courting that person digitally? Here is a person you've not met. You've seen their picture. You like their shit on Instagram. They showed a body part or some booty or something like that. They was working out. You know, you saw the penis print, and you was like, ah, ooh. You know, they was doing something. You know, unless you're a fat boy like me and they was making some food.
Oh, my.
Oh, that was good. Oh, man. Come on, Kimmy. Create me something else. And she'd be like, all right, bye. Such a fat boy. Yeah. See, I like when people make food and eat it. They be eating. They be like, mmm. I was like, man, listen. The way that flower was on her fingers, ooh. Come on, fry that chicken. Come on. Make that pasta. Come on, you know how to make that pasta. Make that pasta, baby.
Food porn.
All right, but my question two, wait a second. I think Wendell, what's up, brother? Welcome into the War Council. Thank you. You came right at the right part.
All right, glad to be here, y'all.
All right, what's up, Wendell? We're talking about. Everybody, say what's up to Wendell.
Hey, Wendell.
What's up, bro?
What's going on, family?
We're here. We're talking about digital courting. We're talking about how people digital court. Is it effective? And how what is the general way how people really get at each other on the social media thing to date each other? So since you came in last, we're going to start with you first. So how does this work?
all the whole, you know, sliding into somebody's DMs and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can't speak for anybody else, but let's say, for example, you know, I'm in a Facebook group or whatnot, and there's someone that appeals to me. You know, I'm going to, you know, I may like a few pictures or comment on a few posts, but at some point in time, I'm going to ask them if I can inbox them, and then from there, we'll start off some conversation, and then for me, I don't like texting as a primary means of communication, so I'm trying to get on the phone with you so I can hear your voice and hopefully video chat so I can see your face, and that way I can engage all three areas of communication. You know, not only the what is said, but facial expression and body language as well as vocal inflection. And then from there, it's just more comfortable.
Also, because you can't get catfish either.
Exactly. That too. I am not trying to fall into that trap. And then from there, it's just a matter of trying to set up some type of interaction, whether it's a virtual date, if the distance is too long, or an actual physical, you know, meetup, and then try to then allow whatever is going to happen from that point on to go ahead and happen. So, I mean, it's a little bit, it has a few more extra steps and can be a little bit more complex based on what the other person is, you know, what their preferences are. But that's just how I tend to go about it, because all this texting back and forth for 3 months before I get on your phone and all that stuff, however people do nowadays, yeah, I'm not down with that.
Mm. All right, let's hear from one of the ladies. Danielle.
Personally, I will text, but I don't like, I prefer to have that personal touch, that conversation on the phone. Video chat is cool too. Because you can actually see their real expressions and stuff. But that texting thing back and forth is cool if you wanted to stay friends. But I need you to get on the phone with me. And I'm working through issues. I have an issue with actually calling people. That's a long story, but I'm working on it. But if it's just texting back and forth, it really isn't going to go anywhere with me. And I'm a great conversationalist. I can text, like I said, for a long period of time, but my preference is talking on the phone more so than anything.
Mm. All right. Let's go to Van Meadows.
I mean, it exists. The only problem with today's time, to Wendell's point, is you don't know who the heck you're talking to if you're just texting. You know, sometimes it can go good right up to the point they start asking for money. then you know that it was just a scam off from the beginning. You know, because I remember telling one sister, I said, "Do you think because you're pretty that people are just going to give you money?" She blocked me.
Hey, take me for prisoners.
right. But I mean, I'm a person to person type person. Long distance don't work for me. Which is what ends up happening is, you know, like you're in these groups, then you see someone of interest, you slide in the DM or they slide in your DM. My first question is, where do you live? You coming in my DM, where do you live? Because we could stop it right here if you don't live in close proximity to me, because I'm not doing all of that. I just don't have the patience or the trust factor to do all of that in today's digital age.
All right. So Let's go to Sir Lawrence.
Yeah, I'm with the primary tag team that's out. You know what I mean? In fact, even in town, I'm not big on tag team. To me, tag team is like the interim. You know, once you get past, once you get into a dialogue, tag team stops. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and if you really know this person, why are you texting me in the first place? Just pick up the phone and call me. You know, I'm old school. You know, if you got something you want to say to me, call me and tell me. You know what I mean? And then, and the long distance relationship that I've been there, done that, it does not work. I mean, it's a crapshoot as far as I'm concerned. You know,
mm-hmm.
There's a chance, but overall, it ain't happening. And then in this day and time, and the only saving grace to this whole thing is FaceTime. You know.
Yep.
And if you're gonna get involved with someone, for me, you know, the best we can do is be friends from that aspect. You know, you happen to be in town, something like that, but in terms of trying to get into a relationship,
mm-hmm.
No, I can't do that. It's too much work.
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's go from you, Lisa Lips.
Well, my last husband I met online, and we didn't know how that turned out. So I think it can work if people are truthful with each other, but if you're being shadowy, then there's a problem. And that was the problem that we had, because what I thought was truth were two things. And eventually it itself around to be the end of our marriage. Because I was under the impression that he was doing much better than he actually was. And his family conspired with him to make it seem so. So when I finally was in the marriage and pretty much stuck at that point, then is when I found out the truth. But it's precarious at best, and dating apps make me nervous because people say what they want you to know and not what's true. So you know, I'm not big on it. It's a good way to meet people, but I need to have conversation. I need to see who you are as a person, see what your conversation's about, look for the red flags. If you're talking about sex in the first conversation, then we don't have anything else to talk about, because that's all you're there for. It just is. You have to be very mindful of what you're doing. Where you're doing this online thing or these text messages, whatever. If you can't find the time to actually talk to me and actually make time to see me, then there is no relationship. It's just wasting each other's time.
If I could interject, I would definitely back up and second what she's saying about these dating apps. I know personally, you know, I've been on a few, and I will put a bunch of information out there. I'll write a whole paragraph or two, you know, as much as I can put in the profile, because I'm
fun.
Trying to upfront for people to be able to see and read about me. So when I look in profiles and all that is just pictures and, you know, like hit me up or, you know, whatever it is that is anything, and I just have to let that go by, because that just screams catfish to me.
All right, so let's go to Dawood. What's your opinion, Dawood?
On digital dating, Clint? It seems like this morphed into a digital dating / long distance kind of conversation. But for me, I don't know. I think the whole digital dating thing is hit or miss. I am not, because of who I am and my reputation, I'm not on any dating sites. Maybe I should be, maybe I shouldn't. But I just, you know, came out of a long-term relationship like a year and a half ago. And, you know, being a former minister and all that, I just never was on a dating site. I didn't really like them when they first came out anyway. But I think that the better way to meet somebody in your local area. And I'm kind of with Van, Lisa, and the rest, and Wendell.
Hello?
And did we lose you? Because I could meet. You did?
Yeah, no, we lost you for a second, but go ahead. No, go ahead. We lost you for a second. Go ahead.
I started walking around. Anyway, there's a lot of wonderful people around this country that you could meet and get into wonderful situations with. The problem is, how are y'all really going to learn each other? How are you going to learn what that person likes, what they don't like? How are you going to learn how to cater to them? You lost me?
No. You're good.
Okay, cool.
How
are you going to connect with them? You know what I'm saying? Like if you really, you know, dating apps and long-distance dating go hand in hand with booty calls and kind of fly-by-night stuff. But if you want to, like, really connect with somebody and build a love, that's what my terminology for, build a love. You can't build no love long-distance because you're going to want to see that person. They're going to want to see you. And I tend to overcompensate. You know what I'm saying? When I don't see somebody, I can overcompensate. So I would put out much more than I should be putting out if I don't see a person. And you know what I'm saying? It just doesn't compare to seeing somebody in person. And I think that a lot of your views and the nuances in your views and their views really can't be determined from long distance. Y'all got to be looking at each other, going out to eat constantly, you know what I'm saying, like being at each other's houses, going to places. And things come up. And it's just like some of the new things that they're talking about in the dating and healing world. They're talking about how people say that they can heal by themselves. And I think that's bullshit. Because you can't heal by yourself. You really don't. It's almost like I'll give an example, then I'll shut up. Years ago, I wanted to learn martial arts. And my mother didn't have the money. So what happened is me and a couple of friends, we bought a whole bunch of martial arts books. And we would try to throw the punches and do the forms and things like that. So long story short, unfortunately, one of my friends got into a scuffle with a football player over this chick that lived in my building. And he slapped the shit out of him like a half an hour. And I'm telling you that my friend had perfect form, perfect kicks, perfect punches. But the thing is, he just knew what it was in the book. He did not engage in sparring and fighting. To me, it's the same thing as you dating online or you doing long distance. Y'all have theoretical conceptions of how y'all both click, but you never really kind of learn each other. And it's the same thing as healing. If you think you're healing by yourself, nobody's really challenging. Nobody's really triggering. Nobody is stepping on your toes in places that you're not used to being or you haven't dealt with how to step on your toes. And I can remember one time, when I started dating again, I was dealing with this one sister, and she would send me pictures of herself, and I would like the pictures or whatever. So then one day I sent her a picture of me. I was on my way to my DV class, and she put laugh on the picture. And when I tell you that I wanted to drop a nuclear bomb on this chick, like I wanted to block her, block on everything that existed. And I was talking to my oldest daughter, and she said, "Daddy, why are you taking us that far?" And I said, you know what? I really don't know. And what happened was is that she triggered a memory that I had from an ex that did the same exact thing, but we were together, living together. She laughed at me when I was looking in the mirror. So you don't know what a person will trigger from you if you're just fucking with them from a distance or online. They got to be in your presence. You understand? And if you heal, you say you're healing and you're healing by yourself, that's bullshit. Because there's nobody there to really trigger you for you to work on your stuff. So to me, the whole healing thing, I think they all go hand in hand, and it has to be in close proximity.
Wow. Did I get you, Lisa Lips?
Yeah, you got me.
Okay. I just want to make sure I got everybody covered in that. All right, so I can move on to the next question. Since we're talking about digital courting and sex, for the ladies, have you been cockfished? Have you been cockfished?
More time than I care to say.
All right.
Cockfish.
Cockfish means that they sent you a penis that wasn't theirs.
No, but I didn't
have I also got a back channel.
Wait,
but before we get to that, I got a back channel I got to read to you. All right, so the back channel goes, flip side. As someone whose default is listening, phone conversations easily lean into one-sided interactions. My experience with those who describe themselves as talkers is that they often dominate conversations and don't even recognize when they're not giving space. Texting often gives space to have actual exchanges, and it allows for conversations for those with busy lives. And as a writer, I pay attention to written communication differently. Your thoughts?
I've had great conversations with people. I've had amazing text conversations with people, and then meet them and realize that they had no clue and were either being fed by someone else to give the proper answers, or they were really good at covering themselves.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
As far as the conversation, phone conversations, I kind of agree with that because I do have a tendency to dominate the conversation. But I've learned to listen. I learned to shut up and listen. I'm still working on that. As far as the texting thing, I don't know. I text, but I'm not a texter. You know what I mean? I don't get into it because I've always stuck with the thing where it first started. Texting used to be just to get a specific message across, not to get into a whole drawn-out conversation back and forth. It gets tired. Now, as far as this cockfish thing, no, I've never been cockfished. I have an issue with these motherfuckers sending me videos of themselves in my inbox, but I've never been cockfished, no.
So they send you the full Monty with
they
head
send me the full, man, look, I had to stop opening up videos. I'm talking about not just videos, but literal phone calls from Messenger where they have the camera on them and they're and I'm like, oh my God, I'll be out in public somewhere. And I'm like, seriously? Oh my God, block. You know, it's
right.
Crazy, but I've never been cockfished. And that really kept me from going in my phone. Unless I'm talking specifically to Epiphany, I don't answer them phone calls. Them fools is fools. Nope.
I'm sorry. I'm trying not to laugh. But
I'm serious,
I kind of agree with Danielle, though. I hate it if you hit me in Messenger and video call me when we haven't even established a communication, really, you know, and you know, guys will just try and call you on video chat, and then when you answer it, they're either half naked or all you see is penis on the screen, and you don't even see their faces. Or I hate all of that.
No, but you know what? My issue, we've had conversations. The ones that I've had to block, there have been conversations for long periods of time. And then just one day, these fuckers decide, well, I'm going to do a dance for her ass naked. I'm going to send this video to her. I'm going to call her with my dick in the camera. She likes me. She's been talking to me, so I can do that. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. I can see if we was talking and it got hot and heavy and we having maybe some phone sex or something or video sex. But it doesn't, they don't even give me the chance to get to that level. With that.
Right.
It's like, oh, I like your conversation. She likes me. Dang-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Get the fuck out of here.
I actually had someone to send me video of him sucking his own dick.
Oh,
okay, all right, that's it. I draw the line. I'm drawing the line. That's it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things we can do on War Council, but that ain't one of them. A lot of things we can do. We can do a lot of things, but we can't do that. We can't do that.
Yeah. Let me say before we get off, because I didn't get a chance to get my part.
Go ahead.
I feel like if you're on the phone with somebody and they dominate in the conversation, and you got a text to stop them from dominating, that's a problem. And would you really want to be talking to somebody that doesn't value your part of the conversation that they dominate? That's my question. I fucking hate when I get interrupted by somebody. And not only do I hate when I get interrupted by somebody, but then they go into another field or left field, totally forgetting what the fuck I was just talking about, and don't get back to what I'm saying. For instance, I was like, yo, it's a football game last night. Football, man, I love football. My favorite team is the Giants, and I remember one time, my nigga, let me finish. Let me finish. So to me, that whole domination thing is, yo, that grinds gears. And if I have to text you just for you to shut up, there ain't really nothing for us to talk about no more. Because even if you're talking and I interrupt you, I'm going to interrupt you to talk about what you're talking about. And then I'm going to say, go ahead and finish what you're saying. I just had to interject. I'm not going to just go fly into another field and talk about some other shit. So the whole dominating the conversation, to me, that's a self-awareness problem right there. Because I'll give you an example. My dad does this all the time. My dad would jump in and go another direction, and he can't hear you. Your voice gets low and sounds disgusted. He's like, yeah. But he doesn't even know that what you're saying is, my nigga, let me finish this conversation. What the fuck are you doing here? He doesn't understand you doing that, because he's so intent on dominating the conversation that he could care less what you were talking about. And to me, I'm sorry, but I take it personal. Because if I was talking about something and you jump in and you go to another direction and you just keep on talking like what I was saying didn't mean anything, you're going to see me, I'm going to be steaming in the background. Because to me, what that means is you could care less what I was talking about.
Yeah.
So to me, it's a no-no for you to text. We got to text so you can stop being an asshole? I don't think so.
I'll tell you on that one.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that because how you start sets a precedent for later interactions. And so if we're not talking, or if all we're doing is texting, you know, but you don't like to actually talk on the phone, and if we actually get into a relationship, then you're setting the precedent that the main way to communicate with you is through text, and that will not work for me. I'm old school as well. If I have to do too much texting, now I'm investing a whole lot more time and energy into typing out my thoughts than it would take for me to actually speak to you on the phone or get on a video chat to actually express what it is that I need to say and to, you know, hear what you have to say. But, and then also with texting, you can initiate a conversation, and that conversation may not be responded to. That comment or thing that you put out there may not even be responded to for, you know, minutes or hours or possibly even days, which then also communicates a degree of either disinterest or disdain or being dismissive to the fact that I sent you a message. So that is not conducive to effective communication for me. It doesn't matter how eloquently you wrote whatever it is that you wrote. And typically, it's not that eloquent if it is something that's important. So
yeah, that I appreciate the commenter on the back channel, but I know that for me, that will not work.
And you find that's a big thing with younger people too. Younger people like to text more than they like to talk. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't get it. Yeah. I don't get it. I've asked my kids why the texting all the time. They be sitting in the same. We be sitting in the living room. They're on one end of the couch, and the other one's over maybe on the love seat or something, or sitting at the dining room table, and they're texting. And I'm like, why are you texting? Open up your mouth and talk. You know how to have a conversation. I was just, you know why, Mom? Because you can actually get out everything you have to say without somebody interrupting you, and they have no choice but to either ignore it or read the whole thing. I'm like, still, you can talk. That texting is tired. I don't get it. I'm like, all right, fine. It's a kid thing. It's got to be a kid thing. Okay.
Let me say something about the text. When you're in the same house, okay, and then you texting each other, and I'm not talking about young. I'm talking about adult. Okay, you're texting each other in the same house. I mean, you're in one room and one in the other room. I don't understand
that's lazy.
Not.
That's lazy.
If you ain't sending dirty little messages, then don't text.
Right.
In the same house.
No, it's a tool.
Maybe
there you go.
If we're in the same house around a whole lot of people and we want to talk about them people, that's different. Because that's going down.
Exactly.
No, that's going down.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Peace, brother.
Yeah. But I think this really just underscores the point that there's a bit of disregard or possibly even disdain for the art of conversation. But everybody wants to say that they're communicating.
Yep.
You want to say that you're communicating because you're getting all your thoughts out in a text, but you're not really communicating. You're just typing.
Right.
And you are not conveying, you know, you are more likely than not conveying the totality of what you're trying to express. Because it's only being captured in the written word. And there's not the opportunity for the free-flowing expression of thought back and forth. It is basically a soliloquy and a monologue that you hope the other person reads and possibly responds to. And that's not a conversation.
Yeah, and it gets misconstrued. It gets misconstrued. You can type something. This has happened to me. You type a response back, and then they come at you, but that's not what I said. Well, that's how I read it. Well, hold on a second. That's why you start calling instead of this old dumbass texting.
Well, they don't use punctuation. They don't use the proper punctuation anyway. If you use an exclamation point, you know there's a lot of feeling behind, some kind of feeling behind that statement. Okay, period. Okay, that's just is what it is. If it's a question, use a question mark. I have a tendency to do that because that's just how I am. But as far as a conversation, the art of conversation, it's gotten lost. In the stitches of time, especially with this new technology. Technology makes you lazy, man. And that's
the punctuation. The punctuation thing is a whole problem because I'm not even sure they teach punctuation in school.
They don't. Just like they don't teach cursive writing anymore. They don't. They've taken it out.
I mean, I was told by my ex-wife that I probably shouldn't text because I'm a bad texter, because I know one day I text her something about my son and she thought that I said he had died and she called me like right away. I said, what is wrong with you? She was crying and everything. She said, you just said that baby died. I said, no, that's not what I said. She said, you need to read what you said. I said, no, you read it wrong. Just like everybody, you read it wrong. But yeah, she told me don't text, you know, don't text, just don't text important information, you know, or stuff like that, because I'm bad at it. And, you know, I'm one of those people, as a poet, I write. The last thing I want to do is text you all day.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I got accused one time. I sent a text in caps, and I got accused of screaming at this person.
Yeah,
that's what it represents. I didn't even realize it was in caps.
Yeah, but that is what I mean.
See, that's another reason why I don't like this.
That is what it means.
You guys, wilding out. Okay, so real quick, just to reset the whole thing. Lady A, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so I saw you raise your hand. You want to get in on a conversation?
I just wanted to add about spelling. People don't know how to spell.
Oh, God, please don't even go there with me.
Rebel.
Oh, God. Some of y'all know me. Y'all know how I am with this. It's horrible. Oh, child, it's a pet peeve, Lord. Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. The earlier
so, Lady A.
Yes. Yes, sir.
So Lady A, have you been, sorry, because you're in here now, so you're going to get asked the same questions. Have you been cockfished before? Have you received said parts of genitals
thing?
That you did? Huh?
What?
I said, all right, let me finish. Have you received said parts of said genitals that you did not ask for in your inbox? And if they did, you did receive said genitals, were they the genitals of the person who sent you the DM in the first place?
Well, I have to say that I don't think that I received unwanted.
Okay. Alrighty then.
That was dope.
Wait a minute. You were so polite. You were so polite about it. I don't think I received them mistakenly. I don't think I received them mistakenly. I do believe that they were put there on purpose.
Yeah,
are you stating
it? Clear it up now. Let's get it clear here.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Guilty is charged. Now.
You find out something new every day. I'm like, hey, are you getting penis pics?
Halo's a bit morbid, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, listen.
But you know
hey,
something,
listen.
Though? I have to say, phone sex is very exciting.
Ooh. Yeah, we didn't cover that yet. We didn't get to that yet.
Oh,
so
sorry.
Phone sex. It's good. It's good. It's a great segue. Phone sex, yeah. Phone sex, hey. Phone sex, text sex, FaceTime sex, all that accounts. So, yeah, start us out. Go ahead.
Well, I had a long-distance relationship with somebody for quite a while, and all we had was the phone. I didn't have a computer at that time, and so, and it was pretty hot. Yeah.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a general question. We'll take three or four questions on phone sex. Has anyone been talked into their orgasm?
Hell yeah.
Has anybody what?
Yeah.
Been talked?
And talked them into it.
I love doing that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, man. I'm not one of these young little brothers, running around here working for a pay stub, I'm a coach.
There you go, brother. There you go. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, that's
yes, sir. Wendell, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
See, I don't hate the players. I make the players.
I know
that's
right.
It, that's it.
Yo.
Yeah. No.
Yo. When Donald becomes you, be like, yo, put me in the game, coach.
Right. I can see Wendell now. Nah, young buck, I don't share my playbook.
He's like,
sit down, let me learn.
He's like,
watch and learn.
He's like, you ain't the Jets, I'm Belichick.
Oh, man. Whew. All right. Anybody else? All right. Anybody else? Okay.
You know, when I was a kid, late night television, all those commercials, hey, baby, call me 976.
Blur it up.
I was like, what are these women looking so provocative for? And why do they want me to call them? Oh, man. Oh, man.
Hello.
Yeah, that reminds me. We went on an NAACP Youth Council trip, and we was in Rochester. And so, you know, in the rooms they had the channels that you can get the thing on, right?
Yeah.
All right. And so nobody can tell us that we have to charge it to our room, right? So I'm looking at my cousin. I'm looking at my cousin Ben. Ben is looking at me. I'm looking at my brother. We're like, and we all shrug at the same time. Yo, we ordered $39 worth.
Oh my! You know what?
Yo, my father tried to kill us. He tried to kill us. Yo, so Ann Pope was the head of his NAACP.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Ann Pope was like, you boys is ordering porn. Yo, my father tried to kill us. He tried to kill us. Yo, he's like, $39. How many movies y'all watch? Okay. I've done enough. All right. So let's talk about FaceTime sex. So we on it. All right, we got about 15 minutes left to the end of the podcast. It is a school night. There are things going on in the background. So let's make this good. So let's run through these last couple of things real quick, and we're gonna end with the green flags and the red flags. All right. So, all right, yay or nay? Yay or nay? Is FaceTime sex, sexting, the sending of naked pics back and forth to excite your partner, are these things that are applicable in the courting stage? Yay or nay?
Are they what?
Applicable.
Are they
Can
what?
They be used? Are they applicable?
Yeah.
Can they be
used?
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
They
Who
can
said
be
that?
Used.
yeah.
They can be used, and depending on the energy exchange, the connection between you two, it can be a great thing. Definitely. Yeah.
I think you have to have a tremendous amount of trust for pictures and that sort of thing because you know, something happens to you and you break up and then them against the other and blah blah blah, you know.
I agree with her because I have sadly been the victim of trusting someone with pictures and then they ended up on the internet.
Oh, really?
You can sue them. That's revenge porn. You can sue them for that.
If you got paid,
you can sue them. You can sue them if they post your pictures without your release, without you doing anything, you know, in any explicit or illicit manner, they can be sued. Oh, indeed. You should legally put your foot where the sun don't shine. Get them.
That's right. That's right. Go get
true.
Your money.
That's it.
Go on, get that money, girl.
Man, listen, I'll be on my revenge, man. I'm still on revenge. I'm just telling you, like this chick at Kentucky Fried Chicken don't think she don't see me coming. She thinks she got me. He's like, I got him for $17. I said, watch. Watch how I get you. Watch me write this letter.
Wow.
I just got my money back from Zoom. I was like, give me back my money.
I don't say, if you don't give me my money, you know what I'm saying?
Give me my
bill,
money. I need my money. Okay. So, but seriously, all right. So, when is too soon? When is it too soon to send illicit, sexually explicit photos, videos, and all things in the beginning parts of the courtship?
Depends on how freaky your ass is and how comfortable you
are
with yourself and that person.
It's
you can't
too
be
early
to have
a conversation
like
to get consent.
Yes, sir. What Wendell
Ooh.
Said.
Say that
say
again.
Say that again. I couldn't hear you. Please.
Say that again, Wendell.
It's too early if you haven't had the conversation to get consent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Word.
Okay.
Mic drop. Period. Otherwise, it's and then it can basically end up derailing what could have been a pleasant exchange or a blossoming relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's very presumptuous to do that without the other person saying it's okay or that it's welcome or you're at least having a conversation, you know, where you broach that subject. It's very, very pretentious and egotistical. You could be putting your own, you know, virtual foot in your mouth.
I was, would you call it catfished? I don't know. But I had a poetry site, developed a friendship with this guy, and we had FaceTime and mutual consent, and he was very flowery and very complimentary and all the rest of it. I got sucked right in. And then he began telling other people about it that I was a predator.
Wow.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was just absolutely horrific. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good. That's fucked up.
No.
Yeah, it is.
That's fucked up. So... that should never occur with anything else. I would just like to say for the record, if I have received any illicit or illegal pictures, they belong to me. Nobody else.
Correct.
Nobody else is getting shit.
Nobody.
Nathan, they are for my personal spank bank.
And that man says
for me.
It's for my personal,
and it is for the cold press. You know, ye old cold press and spank bank. I will go and make withdrawals and deposits. That is how it works. Does not work for any other person.
Not for the culture.
It's only to work for me.
But I think too, like if you're in a relationship already, and you can spice it up with that sort of thing, with you know phone sex and sending not full on pictures, but just teasing kind of pictures. I think you can really spice up a relationship like that. It's fun.
Oh no, it's healthy.
Yeah.
It's absolutely healthy. It's healthy.
Yeah.
Touching yourself is healthy. You know.
That's it, right?
Good for you. It's good for you.
My health improves almost every day.
Yes.
listen. I'm just telling you. Listen. You know, a couple of O's a day. You keep the bad days away, I tell you. It works for you. You go out there shuck the job with the best of them. I'm just saying, it's healthy.
It is healthy, though. Yeah.
You know, that's why sometimes I don't need nobody in my plans if I got my right hand. Let me tell you.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
I think it's erotic, really. I do. I think it's an enhancement.
Nah, it's always good stuff. It's always good stuff. We just be goofing off and doing everything else. You know, but that's besides the point. All right, it's now 10:53 if you're listening within the sound of a voice. Welcome to 50 Radio Universe. We are presenting War Council, free topics, free game, free speak. We're speaking free. We're talking about digital courting and sex and sexting and fixing and all this good stuff. And we're talking, we're joined by an amazing array of people, diverse, incredible. If you're listening within the sound of a voice, you have approximately 6 minutes to get in here. While you're streaming, the number is 319-527-6300. Press 1 to be heard. We're going to continue on. I'm setting myself for a certain amount of time because I definitely have to get off here and do some stuff because this is what happens. All right, so we're going to move on from that. And we're going to spend just two minutes on bad breakups. So, War Council, what was your worst or your baddest breakup? What was your baddest breakup? Mm.
Wow.
Meat and bones. Don't tell a long story. Get to the meat and bones of it. Make it happen. 30 seconds. Baddest breakup. I'm going to start with Wendell because you're the most eloquent, you know. So we're going to go with you first. Go ahead.
All right. When my ex left me, which ultimately led in our divorce, she was visiting family in another state for a certain amount of time. She asked for more time and then stated, I'm not coming back.
Ooh, wow.
Wow.
God damn.
Damn.
That must have been devastating.
Yeah.
All right. That should be to my core.
That's fucked up. The funny thing is, you know what? People be saying men do fucked up shit. I know a lot of women who do fuckery. Pure fuckery. Just like, oh wow, you really eat shit. Like, God damn you. Anyway, let's go to somebody. All right, Danielle.
My worst breakup was when his wife called me after we had gotten engaged.
Oh.
Wow. Yep.
Damn.
Wow.
I knew it was his wife because she had spoken on very intricate, you know, very, very intimate details about certain parts of his life that nobody else should have known. No, a stranger couldn't just walk up and say, well, yeah, that, you know, and I knew right then and there it was the truth, and that was devastating, but I got over it. Fuck, it is what it is. Yeah. But that is my worst breakup.
Shit. Yeesh.
Yeah.
Yeesh. Sir Lawrence.
Yeah.
What was your worst breakup?
Having to break up with someone because you were contemplating ending their life.
Mm. Oh, my.
Wait a minute.
Wow.
Wait a minute. Hold on for a second. All right. First of all, you shouldn't say that on radio. Number two. Didn't say that on the radio. Could have said it another way. But sometimes you just got to get away from somebody because if they make you that crazy, you got to go. You got to go. All right, I'm going to go to Dawood.
Man, I'm just trying to recover from that last one.
yeah, I mean, God damn.
Lord, my worst breakup, man. My worst breakup was with my first love. And it was really stupid because it was me, not her. And what happened was is that she, like, was the one that broke me out of my virginity. And I just took it for granted. And what ended up happening was is the breakup happened because, and it was crazy. There was a girl that was jealous of me and her. And she kind of convinced me that my ex, I mean, my present girlfriend, my love, was saying some stuff about me or whatever. So then she went over to fight the girl. And the girl's mother was a policewoman. So she worked nights. So she would leave the house at 3:00. Everybody knew you don't come to my girl's house before 3 because her mom was home and her mom don't play around. This chick showed up at her mother's house at 2:30 and wanted to fight her. And I was out there. And her mother came out there cursing and screaming. And she was like, "You're not fighting my daughter. And ain't that your man across the street, that poor nigga?" And that was it. That was the end of it.
Wow.
Totally my fault.
Oh, we cut this music real quick. All right, Lady A.
Yes, I had an older guy as a boyfriend when I was 19. He was 32, and he was a musician. And a friend of mine that I grew up with was visiting at the time, and she met him. And then she went home to Montreal, and my mother went to Montreal shortly after that for a visit. That's where I was born, and I lived there for quite a while. And she called me, and she wanted to know why my boyfriend's picture was on my friend's bedside table. Mm. So he ended up going to Montreal and being with her. Mm.
Mm. Mm. Mm. Wow.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Well, then fast forward about 25 years, and I was on Facebook one day, and you know how the names come up, somebody's messaging you? And his name came up. I hadn't talked to him for 30 years, I think it was. And he was the same dog then as he was before.
I feel wow.
I said, "You are a dirty dog." And I said, "You have always been one." He made me laugh because I was old enough to know better then. But in any case.
Wow. Yeesh. Lisa Lips.
I was dating someone in my teens. He was a member of the church that I grew up in, and he stood up one Sunday in service and announced that he was marrying someone else.
Oh,
bro.
Yeah.
Oh.
Ooh.
That must be
Ooh.
Wow. I'm glad I got a phone call instead of right there.
Ooh. Wow.
Ooh.
Wow.
Damn.
This is right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's ugly.
Man. Van Meadows.
Let's see. 10 years together, 8 of those years married. 3 kids, house, cars, at least I thought we were building, only to find out that she only married me because I was stable and she never loved me and didn't mind admitting that in front of my kids.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
that yikes.
Fuck up. God
damn. Yo.
That's ugly.
Man, listen, I feel like Dave Chappelle and the Haters. I'm like, I wish all the bad things happened to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
for real. Yo, that's crazy. Oh, jeez.
Do that kind of man. Hmm. I don't know.
It's a horrible thing to say to somebody that they don't, and especially in front of the kids. I don't love you.
Your kids will pick up, and I'm not gonna sit here and get into the whole thing, but you know, my daughter is you know a good, you know, a personal experience is that, you know, I remember a couple of years ago I was having an argument with her, and I was just like, she's like, yeah, you know what it feels like to know that your mother wants to stab your father? I said, examine the statement you just said. Please examine that statement.
Right.
Please examine that. Your mother was going to stab me, but it's my fault somehow. You made her so angry. Yeah, that's not how this works. That's not how none of this works. But, you know, your kids have revisionist history. You see that. All right. So, let's get into the bag. All right. So, I'll just say my ex decided at the ripe age, 43, that she would date a 19-year-old and move him into the house.
What?
And then wear bandanas and throw gang signs and say that she was ride or die. But she spelt it wrong.
Oh, really?
She spelt it wrong?
Yeah.
Yo,
oh, my God. She spelt it wrong. She spelt it
wrong. Put her ass to the
I
test.
Have,
die die.
I have right. the proof. I have the proof.
That's
I brought it to court.
She spelt it wrong.
Nah, she ride or die. She used Y. She used Y. She used Y. Yo,
oh,
I'm laughing at this.
Man,
I'm not saying her name. I can say whatever
song.
It is.
What's that TikTok song about? I hate my ex.
Yeah, there's a lot more to the story. There's a lot more to the story.
I hope you trip down the stairs and you break your neck.
Nah, but. But the funny thing is, like, I was trying to have this conversation. I was like, there was just so many things. Like my son graduated from eighth grade, right? He graduated from eighth grade. And you know, so me, my pops, we showed up. We're all happy. We're looking. She didn't let her sister. Like, she literally came in a jean outfit with her toes out. Just hood. Just. No, it didn't stay for the whole ceremony.
People make me sick.
I said, that's a powerful penis. That's a powerful penis right there.
That's
many people.
She might have had to go to his graduation, too.
He never graduated. I wish that was true. But I realized that what I realized, like I told the wrong story on top because I don't be caring. Right. Every graduation, she just managed to do something special for every single graduation. For my daughter's graduation, she decided that she was going to take a whole dude, right, talk to her all week. Say, okay, this is the plan, right? And I come up, I get up, and then she's like, I don't have enough room in my car. I can't take you. I said, but you have the tickets. Well, you'll just have to figure it out when you get there. And just left and didn't answer the phone after that. And then and then had a party for my daughter, right? Didn't tell me the party was, right? That's just who she was. That's whatever. And I was like, why would you take a complete stranger that you was effing to my daughter's graduation? And I had people there taking pictures of my daughter at graduation. That's how I got graduation pictures. And I was just like, if I go, I'm going to end up killing somebody. Well, let me not say that, because that's bad. But I was going to end up.
So did she have a relationship with her mother now? Or?
Oh, yeah, she was with her mother now. Yeah. No, but that doesn't matter. But we'll be talking about bad things. But we've been talking about craziness because I want to get all the negative out the way so we can talk about something positive and we can end this conversation. Let's talk about green flags, right? Because we've been talking about red flags. All the things that we mentioned are red flags, the things that we should know, see in relationships. We'd be like, all right, I'm out of here. F this is crazy. Life is short, right? But let's talk about the things that actually go right and end this on a high note, so we can give something really, really positive to it, because a lot of times when we talk about things, we talk about the issues that are affecting things. But let's talk about some things that can actually bolster, help create progress, create peace, create things that are actually give people hope in the idea, in the sense of what they can hope for in relationships or work towards. So I asked the War Council this: what are your green flags? What are the things that say, you know what, this person could possibly be a person I want to spend the time with, be with, be around. These are the things that attracted me to them. So what are your green flags?
Green flags? Being able to actually have a good conversation. Listening.
Hold on. Because I'm going to write these down. Hold on. Let me get it so I can write it all down.
For real, I'm taking notes too.
And who's breathing? Ready? Who's breathing like that in the phone? Don't breathe like that in the phone. Blow your nose or something.
Being able to have a good conversation. Selflessness. I'm not talking about
hold
this.
Hold on. Selflessness.
Yeah. That falls in line with consideration and all that good stuff. Not being like really argumentative. But being able to agree to disagree without it getting really blown out of proportion and it being one-sided, like the way I say it is the way it is, and let's leave it at that. I can't stand that. That falls in line with being selfish. Not being boring. I have a tendency to get bored because I'm really easygoing. I like to go out and do. I'm a street runner, although I don't anymore. If I'm going to spend time with you, we need to be doing something. We don't always have to be out in the street, but once you find out my interests, I found out your interests, we find a medium, and we just do a thing. We sit home and watch a good movie or something, but I don't just want to sit and not do anything unless I'm just all lovey-dovey into you, you know, like, tell me more about my eyes, please, but that's it.
Hilarious.
Y'all showing your age. Yeah, you're showing your age now. Other than that, it's I can tell you about more red flags than I can.
Hold on. We're gonna pass the buck. All right, we're gonna ask one of the fellas. What are your green flags?
Someone who practices authentic and enthusiastic acceptance and appreciation.
Hold it. Say authentic. See, this is the problem. He got million-dollar words. He's all over there. That sounded so good. I could put that on a piece of bread and go down real easy. Like, all right, you said authentic.
And enthusiastic acceptance and appreciation.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, because I am who I am at the time that I'm meeting you. Can you accept me for who I am as opposed to trying to make me fit into an archetype of what you want me to be? Can you celebrate me as I am right now? And decide that you want to see me grow, develop, and evolve. And as you grow, develop, and evolve, I can celebrate that in you. Can we be doing our individual work and then bring those two healed and growing parts to the whole, which is the relationship? Or am I going to have to perform for you in order to maintain your interest? And for you to see value in me as a potential partner.
because if that's the case, I don't want it. You can keep that. And go, you know.
Right. Be genuine. Yeah.
Oh man, I'm not here to entertain you or prove myself, you know, against an ideal that you have in your mind. You know, you can go and find that someplace else. I'm gonna be me 100%.
Mm.
Let's keep it rolling, fellas. Van, what you got?
Now you want me to go after Wendell? Really?
Really?
I couldn't go after somebody else. You want me to go after him?
I'm on the phone with a bunch of cunning linguists here, so I know you got it, bro.
Nah, but you know, one of the green flags for me is, can you accept criticism without getting upset?
Constructive criticism.
Mm. Yes. Now, what you say is how you say it. Okay.
Another green flag for me is, while you're elevating yourself, do you have the ability to elevate me?
Okay.
When I'm unable to elevate myself.
Okay.
Are you so independent that you don't need my help or need help? Another green flag for me is, You're not a yes person to your family. You know how to, you have a backbone, and you know how to say no to them.
Yes, Lord.
Intellect. I am a highly intellectual individual, and I need to have brain stimulation, so we have to have an intellectual conversation that doesn't revolve around physical anatomy, rumors, can we talk about the stocks? Let's talk about the stocks today. Did you watch the news? What was something that bothered you about it? Did you look up a new word today? What did it mean for you? Intellect is very important. Another green flag for me is confidence. Are you confident in yourself? Are you able to command attention without really commanding attention? Don't put me at the window anymore, man. Much pressure. Pressure, bro.
Nah, man.
Don't do that.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I apologize. Cause you are not sorry. I'm just saying.
Oh, man.
Man, I'm gonna have to get Wendell to narrate a Honey Dripper show, man. He said that's a, you talk patty, smooth off. Smooth ball, just smooth, just.
Let me know, brother.
Like,
let me
damn.
Know.
Yeah, come in and be like, have a narrate. Like, come here and narrate. Like, man. Matter of fact, they got this thing on Clubhouse. This is black men reading you stories till you go to sleep. Wendell would be perfect for that. But like, yo, Wendell, explain this concept. I'll explain that to them. Make that happen. All right. So let's switch it up to the ladies again. Let's come back. Lisa Lips and Lady A. What are your green flags?
For me, because my artistry is important to me, you have to have some appreciation for the art. Yeah, because if you're very straight-laced and not into the arts, you're not going to get it at all.
Mm-hmm. Also, if you can take the truth, even if it hurts. Because some people just can't handle things that don't feel good, even if it's for their own good.
Mm. Wow. Okay, Lady A, what about you?
I think intelligence is really important for me too. I think that somebody who can carry on a conversation has social awareness is another one, is to be able to be aware of the world around you and to be able to participate in it in the conversation or otherwise. I think music is a big thing for me too. I think my poetry and my painting are also big things, and I would like to have somebody with a similar passion for whatever their art is, whether it's music or writing or whatever it is. I think that it's interesting and fun to have a partner who has an equal passion for something. And but I think intelligence is a really big thing. Communication is a really big thing, and I think if you have that, you're halfway there. And to be friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to like them.
I agree.
You would be in love with people, but not like them. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Similar interests are very, very important.
Yeah.
You can bring something different to the table. Everyone has different interests, but we need to have some kind of interest in the same thing at some point in the relationship that's going to come up, you know, because I want to share my passion with you. I want to share what I like with you. And if I feel like you're just not into it, you know, it's going to make me become withdrawn. Like, damn, I can't even talk to you about this because you just have no interest in it. And I don't want you to put on this fake shit like you're interested in it. I can sense it. Yeah, the goal, you know, I'm not even going to talk to you about it. So, yeah, I think similar interests are very important. Yeah.
And even if you have different interests, you have to be open to at least exploring what the other person's interested in.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Dawood, we haven't heard from you. So what are your green flags?
So, you remember the movie Brown Sugar?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
With Annihilation? So remember Drake, who is, I forget exactly what dude's name is right now. But remember he got married to the one chick. Yeah, Tay Diggs, right? He gets married to the one chick. And she doesn't know a goddamn thing about him. And his homegirl shows up, and every question they have, she knows that answer. So she knows what kind of drink he wants, what night he wants it on. She knows what his favorite song is. She knows what his favorite color is, all that stuff. And homegirl, his future wife, is almost embarrassed because she doesn't know nothing about him. A green flag to me is, see, I'm Scorpio. I'm going to study you before we even get together. But will you study me? And that's a big question. And I find that in a lot of situations, like I've dealt with women, and they're fascinated at my level of detail of learning them, studying them, remembering certain things about them, whatever, but never really take no time to learn nothing about me, and that's cool with them. And to me, a green flag is when you know just about as much about me as I know about you, because that means that you're actually engaged. But when it's only important for me to know something about you, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of lose interest very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And a good way to measure that is when you're first dating. If you go on your first date and you see you're sitting there having a conversation, and I've had this done before, and I can ask a million questions to the person that I'm with, and they will ask not one question about you.
Yep.
Then you know that the interest is not there.
Right. Absolutely.
That's right. If it's not reciprocal,
If you're not giving me that same energy that I'm giving you, then that means it's going to be a lopsided relationship. And I don't want it.
Now, that's a red flag, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, well, you guys wrote it down. I'm going to go through the list. My thing is, in particular, I love someone who's mindful. They're mindful. Mm-hmm. Like, they understand the relation of all things around them, and they're mindful about those things, right, to the point that not just, it's not just a knowing, but it's really the feeling and the connection of the energy between you and that person. You know, I was having a conversation about connection, you know, connection and chemistry, you know, which ones is greater, you know, because you can have chemistry and no connection, you know, and you can have connection, but there be no chemistry. But when you have both, cooking with gas, right? You got, you know, shit is on fire. It's on fire. It's gonna go down. It's gonna go down. Major, right? Basement. But literally, to get to those things for me, like someone has to be mindful. Someone has to really focus on certain things, so that they understand. Like, you know, one of the things that I learned from this past weekend, right, I was with my homegirl Tam and Jason, and I love them very much as a couple. Like, they're like you see one, you see the other. But more importantly, they collectively were shepherding me around. Like, they were really, like, on me together because they were like, yo, this is our effort for you. Like, this is how we feel about you in our lives. And it was familial, right? And that type of thing where people can look after somebody, they're mindful of their feelings, their emotions. Being mindful is important to me, like, to know. Like, you understand what someone's ouches are. And if you know someone has an ouch and you know exactly how to avoid it, I like a person who doesn't fight dirty because they can, you know, that they can stay above the fray in a conversation and get exactly to the point. I like people who are emotionally direct. It's important because they can tell you exactly what they feel in that moment. And when you understand each other's feelings, you can actually connect better because now you can actually conversate about what it exactly is, what is the root of the things that are bothering you that you can get back together around everything else. Big believer in reciprocation, big believer in like, you know, I'm a joy addict. Like, things, like, I've learned to accept, like, if something's going to make me laugh, y'all know I'm going to laugh my head off. I don't even care. I don't care where I'm at. If it's funny, I'm going to laugh, you know. Like, my brother killed me. Like, I damn near bust a gut today because, you know, basically, my father's wife makes me crazy. And I had to use the bathroom. And so I went to the bathroom. My brother said, you went upstairs in the bathroom, but it feels like you brought it down here with you.
Oh,
and I was like, my bad. So, because y'all think I'm funny. My brother's like 10 times funnier than me, right? And he is all the time in the world. And so he was like, oh, you caught me with my mouth.
Ew.
So I was just laughing about it, right, because it's funny. But it's important to have, yo, a sense of humor is one of the best things ever. Like, if you can make me laugh, I think that's one of the greatest gifts, like, you know, that you could ever give to somebody is make a laugh, a sense of humor. Someone who's not afraid to laugh at themselves, not afraid to, you know, like a little bit of self-deprecation, but not too much, but just being able to be like, I don't take myself that seriously, you know. Intelligence is sexy. Anyone who's intelligent, who's creative, you know, I marvel. Like, I feel like I have the greatest job in the world because I get to listen to some of the dopest poets write some of the dopest shit and say some of the greatest things, you know, and it feels good. And so, funny thing, secretly, I've been making all the Honey Drippers practice with music, right, because music is one form of understanding and feeling. And when you add poetry to it, it elevates itself even further and becomes a different dimension altogether. And so when I listen to somebody, like when I listen to Lisa Lips read a poem about getting dead, I got hit dead center, right? It just takes on a whole new meaning, and you can see the shapes and the sounds, right? It's cool shit. But most people don't understand, like, that feeling that you get from certain things, that soulfulness. I love someone who's soulful, who's always in the act of being soulful, understanding spirit, understanding how things move them. You know, someone who's not afraid to dance in the moment, like, just dance because they heard something really good. And you know, that something that animated them to the point that anything else, you know, or someone who could break out to a song. Man, listen, you break out to a song or something like that, that's beautiful. You know, all of those things are incredible. Someone who loves to dance, like to me, listen, if I ever, ever get betrothed again, she's going to have to know how to dance because we're going to dance.
Pick me, I love dancing.
Say that, bro.
We gonna dance. I'm just saying. We gonna cut a mean ass rug. We gonna two step. You know what I'm saying? Because I believe like marriage is a real dance. Like that's a dance. You know, sometimes you lead, sometimes you gotta follow the lead. You know, you dip, you do all kinds of different things. You spin, you turn, you might even break a split or two. But hey. Dance. That's dope shit.
I don't know about all that dope shit.
I feel that music, if you put that music on and it goes right through your body, I just love it.
I'm just saying. As long as we can do the hokey pokey, just make sure you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about.
Oh my God.
Anyway. And that's what it's all about. But all of these things that constitute, like, to me, like, it's not so much of the physical. It's what, it's like it's how your physical houses your body. How it houses your spirit. How your spirit emanates from you in all ways possible.
Mm-hmm.
I love to see someone who is a walking, breathing, living soul at all times. You know them.
Mm-hmm.
You know exactly. When you're soulful, when people are soulful, you can feel them, you know, where it raises up and above. Like you know, the one thing we can say in War Council, we're a bunch of walking spirits that get the chance to talk and interact with each other. That's why it's such great energy, because just who we are, because we are soulful people, you know, and to find people who pair or match to that, you know, it's like having a great wine with a great dinner. It just never goes out of style. It's classic. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love some of the classic. I like people who smile with their eyes. Love it. You can see the smile in their eyes without them even moving their lips. Joy.
Oh, that's what's up.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I like to see how much joy people generate when they come around. Like, you know what? All right, and so I have good friends, right? I have great friends, right? Like, funny shit, right? And there's no strangeness in this statement. But I love to see certain people come into a room, right? Because of how people respond to them. Because they're a light. They come into a room and they're a light. Like, when Van showed up in Rally, everybody was like, ah! It was crazy, right? It was crazy. Right?
Oh.
But everybody was losing their shit, right? Because I lost my shit. I was like, what? I was like, oh, you know. And everybody was happy. And it was funny because me, him, and Nick were wearing the same colors and shit at the same time. We were like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
What the fuck is this? Why are we all wearing the same color scheme? Who did this? We looked like we was in a gang. It was crazy. Anyway, when he came in the room, right, and Van doesn't do crazy. He doesn't go out of his way to do. He just walks around and he's just Van. And everybody's like, oh, Van, oh. You know? And then Van did something that was crazy. Like, Van, like, most people know when I'm working that weekend, I don't eat. Like, I'm frantic. And Van was like, yeah, I got some pizza for you and some wings. And he saved me wings because as soon as he was like, nah, I had to save you wings because people set upon that pizza as soon as it came out the door. They set upon the pizza.
Damn.
He set upon it.
Wow.
It was crazy.
They was hungry, right? Man, you know.
He was hungry, and Van was like, "Yo, I got your wings." he was like,
"Yeah, I had to take
them
to that,
get these wings, right?" So it was like mindful. So you know that's the type of person Van is, right? Dawood hangs up, right? When Dawood goes into the community, he's like this person that everybody's like, "There's oh, good brother." He'd be like, "Good brother," you know, because he's a good brother. You know what I'm saying? That's how people respond to him. That's what happens when he comes in the room. So I like people who are, you know, soulful. Like a person, a woman who's soulful, that upon sight, people recognize the essence and the joy that they bring into the room, the light that they carry, you know, because light workers and light bringers are always all the same. They radiate all the pure and healing energy for who they are because they give love in the essence of who they are in their statement. And that's one of the things I think is a green flag, is a person who's a light bringer. You know what I'm saying? They're not there to take anything from you. They only add to the situation. You know, a person who's an addition to everything else. And I also like people who are appropriate, that are completely appropriate in every moment. You can't catch them slipping. They just come in, and they're exactly what you need for every situation. So those are my green flags. I land my plane now. All right. So I wasn't supposed to be on the phone this long, and I'm getting bothered. But let me read some of these green flags real quick. All right. Green flags. Be able to have a good conversation. Selflessness, consideration, being able to agree to disagree, being exciting, adventurous, authentic and enthusiastic acceptance and appreciation. You know that was Wendell. You know it was. Right.
We know.
Absolutely.
We know.
Right. To be celebrated and not tolerated, being able to accept constructive criticism. Can you evaluate me when I'm able to elevate myself? You know, I think that's what it was. Van said it, but I think I messed it up because I was like doing 7 threes or what. So forgive me, Van. I wrote, are you able to ask for help if you're in need? All right, because I know it's hard for me. I know it's really hard for me, but. It's one of the things. Not a yes person to your family. Be able to have an intellectual conversation. Confidence. Got to be into the arts. Can you handle the truth if it's told to you? Social awareness. Good taste in music. Passionate for arts. To be friends. To keep an open mind. Will you be a student of me? Being able to be reciprocal of that. And being able to learn. And also being able to teach. So, what do you think?
Yeah.
I like that. It was good.
Yeah.
It was good. It was
Absolutely.
Good. All right. Well, listen. You throw this on in the background so we can just do some fun stuff in the background. So, before we leave this conversation, Mr. Van Meadows, can you tell us what is happening on the Epiphany Radio Universe for the rest of this week?
Absolutely. It'd be my pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, join us tomorrow night for the Love Zone with your host, Ms. VIP and La Perla La Negra. Thursday night's The Get Down with J. Rob, the Wise Son, and yours truly, Poetic. Friday night's going to be Express Your Vibe with Ms. VIP. Saturday night's going to be Poetic Therapy, y'all, with La Perla La Negra and Stan the Man Phillips. Sunday night, we'll be back in the Inspiration Factory with Divine Inspiration, Paul Sampson, and yours truly, Poetic. Monday night's going to be the Soul Cafe with your host, For Real, the Poet Douglas, author Larry Maddox, the CEO himself, Essentially Janice on the event page, La Perla La Negra, and yours truly, Poetic. And then we'll be right back here next Tuesday for one of my hobby shows, my hobby. Back to you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. That was good. That was Van Meadows from Trinity Ray University, station manager, giving you those kind words here.
Appreciate you, sir.
For Real Entertainment Network. Thank you. I say good day, sir. Good day.
Good day, sir.
I say good day, sir.
I
say good day, sir.
Sir, I say good day to you.
Good day to you, sir.
I say good day to you, sir. Good day. Listen, it's been another fantastic war council. We want to thank everybody who participated this evening. Thank you to Danielle, Lisa Lips, Van Meadows, Wendell, Lady A came on a check-in, Sir Lance, and of course Dawood. And everybody else who was listening, especially shout out to Sensei Zanis and everybody else that was in the background and streaming and hitting back channel. It's been a beautiful night, and this has always been a good thing. Remember, this is constitutionally protected speech. Do not take these words to heart. These are all parables and stories for you to learn from, not to use them as therapy. We are here to exist to have conversations that you may not have openly. We save these conversations between each other because we love each other as a group, but more importantly, we're willing to discuss those things that actually happen and using ourselves as examples and our experiences in hopes that you will know what to do if you encounter it. This has been an amazing war council, and I have to thank everybody for participating. Thank y'all for coming. Once you get home safe, God bless you. Good night. I also would like to dedicate this to the memory of my brother, Greg Scott. We will be burying him on Friday. I do not look forward to it, but I will always hold him in my memory as much as I can. All right. So that's where I'm at. Thank you for the laughs. Thank you for the scintillating conversation. Thank y'all for being y'all. And thank you for always spending the time sharing yourselves with us here at Epiphany Radio Universe and the War Council and for everybody who's listening. I love y'all. Thank y'all. God bless y'all. Good night.
Good night,
night
all. Thank you.
Good night.
Night.
Thank you. Thank y'all. Thank y'all. Good night.
Bye.